Quay. My name is Ginger Knockwood. Jusim Jeej, Little Wind. I am from Ebigwit First Nation in Mi'kma'ki, Prince Edward Island. I was born to a residential school survivor, Marie Knockwood, Gokdokasis, Thunder Child. I am the youngest of five. I have an extreme privilege to have been born to Marie Knockwood, to be able to sit on her hip and absorb all the knowledge that she has shared over the years. And now, I am empowered to use my voice and awoken and proud for once to be Indigenous. Here are some words that I would like to share. If I could design the future of my people, it would be a mere reflection of the past, but in a moderate setting, of course. The two most important aspects of our people are our youth and elders. The only way to utilize them is through knowledge. I would like to see all of our children attend an all-ILNU school with curriculum designed by ILNU, but supported by the Department of Education, of course. We would have basic curriculum offered in our school system, but more importantly, we would incorporate the teaching of our ILNU ways. This design would include bringing back our language, knowledge of our ILNU regalia, and our neighboring tribes, medicines and local herbal treatments, knowledge of how to make our own tools and devices for livelihood, but most importantly, the spiritual connection most of us lost through colonialism, a better understanding of our clan system, the importance of having our children attend an all-ILNU school system from grade K to 12 is extremely important to protect our youth from the discriminative world we live in today. As a youth attending a mixed school, we are conditioned to shape into what our peers and society deem right or cool, making our old ways the unpopular route. The public school system, in my opinion, is a tool to make our people conform to modern-day white ways of life. No matter how connected our youth are to our culture, this conformity always overrules our youth in order for them to fit in with their peers. I see pride in our children when in the ILNU environment. However, when in a non-native environment, I quickly see that pride disappear. Our cultural traditional ways hidden as a survival mechanism. Our children do what has been taught to them through colonialization. And that is hiding who we really are as ILNU people. We need to ensure our children are empowered by one another and confident in who they are as First Nations people. The lack of confidence is the main ingredient in the extinction of our ways as ILNU people. All the stereotypes that have been created have always been connected through the public school system. Our children are embarrassed of who they really are as First Nations people, and this will result in the death of our culture as we know it. Our elders are only here for a short time. Soon enough, our youth will become those elders. And without this knowledge and confidence that needs to be instilled from an early age, we will no longer have the connection we have with our elders today. It is detrimental to our ILNU people and our culture. The only solution to preservation of our culture is directly linked to our youth. If we do not address this now, our future generations will only be more disconnected than the last generation, giving exactly what colonial settlers deemed to do, and this is, take the Indian out of the Indian, so they say. It is our duty to preserve our culture, and that is impossible to do unless we address this disconnection in our youth. Our people seem to think it is impossible to do, or it will be a long road before we get there. To me, this is frustrating because I see a culture, the Amish culture, come here to Prince Edward Island and build their own schoolhouses to ensure the same thing doesn't happen with their own children. It is possible. The problem is that we keep asking for things like this from the federal government. And unfortunately, in my opinion, it is in the government's agenda to make sure we do not rise as a nation and just sit idle until society does what Canada's so-called founding father wanted to happen, which is to conform the First Nations people to the white man's way. Being Innu is the greatest blessing one can have in North America. We were the first people of this land. We are the keepers of this land. I am blessed and very proud to be Innu. However, we are losing our vision and slowly modernizing into a white society. We aren't as connected as our ancestors because of the genocide and colonialism our people faced as a nation. Our elders, who have been directly faced with the wrath of genocide, decided that the future generations needed to be protected from this terrorist-like attacks on our people. So they decided it would be best that we conform to the white way, knowing that our spirit would once again rise and connect us back to our ways once again. Today, we have united and fought for our treaty rights. We rise again in unity, just like our ancestors knew we would. Due to the past genocides, I do not know my native tongue fluently. I was ashamed of who I was as a youth due to this vicious cycle. I am a direct descendant of a residential school survivor put in place by the white leadership that took over our nation, meaning I have a disconnection that was created by the colonial settlers. It is a shameful feeling that I allowed my culture to have this disconnection and hid who I was as a youth. But now I have the opportunity to create this bridge for my children. It is an ongoing fight to raise a confident Innu child in this white society. We have evolved to automatically hide who we are as a survival mechanism. And I came to a conclusion. The only way to create that bridge is to break down the obstacle, which is the public school system, the same system the colonialists put in place to remove our culture from our way of life. My mother came to the same conclusion when I was young and homeschooled us as long as the government would let her. However, once hitting high school, her work was easily undone. I have now found a loophole. Unfortunately, I was only recently aware of this ability to provide my children with this homeschool education that is recognized by the Department of Education. Leaving my oldest child out, I will provide education to my other two children right up to grade 12, eliminating that control, the colonial control the school system has had on my children, to enable them to be the only leaders their spirit strives to be. I highly believe in the old way. An elders' council should be formed and have the ultimate say. Not just an opinion or suggestion. Any organization formed can be a source for suggestions, but ultimately, it should be brought to the table of our elders' council, built from our elders who have the cultural connection and knowledge of what has happened in the past and current events today. Not based on the education they bring or the diplomas they hold, but the true knowledge of our people. In the past, before we were struck with this colonial leadership, chiefs never had the final say. The decisions were always brought to our elders, because they have a higher connection to the Creator, the ability to communicate with our ancestors, and most importantly, the wisdom and knowledge of life in general. This is the one piece we lost in this colonial way of life. Our elders are respected, yes, but not held to the highest standard, and we are guilty of calling them crazy or unethical. We have evolved into the white way, making it hard for us to accept spiritual connection our people obtain as a gift, a natural gift. If we share our gifts, we are looked like as crazy or witches, and ultimately locked away in mental health institutions, at times even by our own people, because of the extreme disconnection our people face. We have the ultimate capability to rise above any colonial act, but lack the spiritual connection we as a people need in order to do so. In the past, colonialists would hang or burn anyone who had a spiritual connection or magical power over them. Why, you ask? Because it is the number one way we can conquer this colonial society and right all of their wrongs. To be First Nation isn't exactly about the blood anymore. If that was the case, we could trace Illinois First Nation lineage back to whomever settled here from the beginning, because of the fornication that has happened between the settlers and our people. Therefore, an estimation of about 75% of true Canadians would have some type of First Nation blood. I believe what my ancestors believed, and that is, if you have that spiritual connection and hold the gifts our people are able to tap into, you are a true member. If you practice the ways of our people and can pass these true teachings on to our future generations, you are in fact First Nations and or an ally of our teachings. We were never the type of people to turn someone away unless they had nothing to offer to our tribe. If you don't have the cultural and spiritual connection, you are not First Nation. It comes natural to us as a people. The moment we hear the drum, our spirit guides us. And when we allow our spirit to be open to our ancestors in the spirit world, we have this unbreakable connection. And all the wisdom and knowledge is shared from our ancestors straight to our spirit. If we had an elders council, they would be the ones to determine who is in fact connected as a First Nations person, to show your pride and willingness to live life as a true First Nation. This would consist of going on a spiritual journey, partaking in ceremonies, and anyone who can complete that spiritual journey proves to be true to our ways and a perfect fit to carry on our teachings to the future generations. Reservations were not something our people created. It was merely created by the colonial settlers to divide and conquer. We are a nation, not Indians on reserved land. The whole division of our tribes is a way to divide us to easier control our ways. We, as Abiquit, Prince Edward Island, Innu, are one united, not two bands, an urban off reserve. Actually, we as Innu are connected all across Wabanaki and Mi'kma'ki. We shared and gathered together in clan systems to determine the family connection and who was a relative or not for reproducing purposes. We would frequently travel to other tribes and places through Wabanaki to share, trade, gather for ceremonies, and most importantly, to find acceptable partners for our future generations. Race is not something we knew. There was only one group of people who brought this word into place. That is the white race, the colonialists. This word was brought into play to try to get other nations, tribes, or clans to conform to their superiority. This title, race, stems from the word racism. Think about it. If we looked at everyone as one, Without that title, racism would cease to exist. This is another form of dividing and conquering techniques that the colonialists used. We need to unite as a people. Numbers count. Please, open your eyes, unite, and rise as keepers and protectors of this land. Mother Earth needs us, and as First Nations, it is our duty. Our people shared, loved, and accepted. There was no judging or hate towards any individual until we faced genocide. We have two choices. Live our true life that our ancestors built, or live the life that the colonial people built. Who are you going to be?